Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Breath, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex. Since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hey, Cindy. How you doing?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not psychic for nothing. You know, usually when I log on to this show, I'm about 10 minutes before the hour, okay? And today at 6 o'clock, you know, I tried to have a break between 6 and, say, 7 so that, you know, I had a dinner ready. Let's go eat. Let me have like a leisurely hour before the show because it always seems like I'm rushing. And I said, just let me give me leisure today. So anyway, I go on at 6 and I go, let me just get the show all up and running. This way, you know, I can eat in peace. Well, I go to the show and there's no episode scheduled. And I'm like, what?
What?
There's no episode scheduled?
Oh,
and I'm like, okay, this has been every night for almost, you know, 6 years, however long I've been doing it, that it's 7 o'clock.
Yep.
The show is scheduled. So I, you know, say, well, maybe it's this computer, my HP, but it's a brand new computer. I can't say how it could malfunction, but I go, let me go over to my Mac. So I go over to the Mac, and it's the same thing. There's no episode scheduled. So I go, okay, let me go to the help chat room and ask him what's the story. And so, you know, you have to write in. Of course, you can't call anybody. You know, you've got to type this in. And meanwhile, I'm like sweating bullets now because, you know, I have a dinner on the table. I'm trying to have to clean up before, you know, people are coming later. So I'm like, I didn't have too much time for this, okay? Meanwhile, you know, it's already quarter up to six now. So I finally, you know, sort of get hold of them. And I say, well, my show is not scheduled. And they go, well, we don't see a show scheduled. I'm like, yeah, well, that's what I'm telling you. But there's always a show scheduled every week for 6 years. And they write me back, well, we don't do that anymore. You have to schedule a show each week. They write back to me. And I'm like, well, nobody contacted me. I pay for premium services. Don't I get an email saying you better, like, log, schedule another show?
Yeah, because the way that it used to be set up was that it reoccurred every week, and we had to inform them if we canceled.
Right,
not
exactly.
That we had to schedule a show every week.
Okay, so then I said, well, nobody tells me. Well, we just found out about it. Like, you just do this. Like, you just decide you're going to change something and not tell anybody. You just, okay,
we just decided.
There was no, you know, advance warning. This is the way it is.
Do you know
and
what
I'm
that
like,
says to me? That says to me that they tried to fix something else that's wrong. And when they fixed that, they knocked this out of whack. And instead of owning up to say, hey, listen, you know what? There's a whole bunch of conflicts with this site and we can't get it right. They chose to say, oh, well, we just don't do that anymore. And then meanwhile, next month, they could be doing it again.
Well, I'll tell you what I said, you know, after I finally figured this out, then I said, well, the Facebook login, you know, to go live and Twitter has not worked in weeks. And she goes, well, that's fixed. So they fixed that and they broke it. So
exactly.
Anyway,
see, they fix one thing and then another thing gets broke.
So then they said, well, I said, well, what am I supposed to do about tonight's show? They go, well, you can, you know, schedule one now. So I had to write something like in 2 seconds, like Long Island Medium is your best gives advice. I mean, I wrote it in 2 seconds to schedule a show.
Oh, God.
So, I mean, I was like so panicked out. And then I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is just ridiculous. So it's a kind of a strange world where we can give people information so easily through emails or texts when something happens. And people don't do that. It's like odd.
Nope.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like it's hard to contact people. You have our email addresses. You send me out something every week reminding me of my show. So just have someone type something on that to remind us that, you know, this is different. So that was like the sort of the jolt of electricity today that went like zzz. So, but imagine I never, ever log on at 6 o'clock, ever. So you can just imagine the divine guidance saying, yeah, I think you better log on at 6, you know. Could you imagine if I logged on at 10 to 7, we would not be able to do this. Now, it says you were not connected. Is your saying that on your show? Hello? Nicole, are you there? Hello, am I on the air? Hello, Eleanor, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, Eleanor, it's Cindy. I don't know what's happening with this show tonight. There is so crazy. It says no host. I don't know what happened to Nicole. And then I'm not even sure I'm live on the air, so I'm hoping the other people can hear us.
Okay.
They can hear you. I got it.
Okay. I'm not sure what that was about. I'm sitting here going, okay, now.
Did you hear that on your end?
No, what happened?
Okay, well, suddenly it sounds, I thought that you were making actually like voice, or like using like your voice or whatever, like when you were just you know, whatever it was. I thought you were going like, it was just like, oh my God, like any frustration, but apparently it wasn't. And all of a sudden my screen flashed and it said, there is a problem. You are not connected. And then Blog Talk would not let go of the line on my phone for me to call back in. So I had to actually reboot all of Blog Talk. I had to clear the error message, and then it allowed me to call back into the host line.
Well, something's happening like on the show tonight. So I mean, I'm just saying, please bear with us. There's a lot of technical difficulties tonight, so we'll do best that we can.
This is going to be fun.
Oh, I'm just telling you, like today I was like trying to be chilled out and relaxed, and then I felt like this jolt of electricity, like, oh my God, here's this day going. So
yeah,
we'll do our
one
best.
Of those things. And I saw that you picked up Eleanor. Now, did you at least tell the callers and everything the theme for tonight? Because I missed all that.
No, I didn't get to that because I didn't
All
know
right.
if anybody could hear me.
All right. Well, listen, just so that everybody knows, you know, because it is Valentine's Day on Saturday, we are going to be concentrating under normal circumstances. We do all kinds of calls. We do love. We do, you know, relationships. We do career. You know, we just try to take random questions from the other side as well. But because it's Valentine's Day, we're going to concentrate only on love questions. So if anybody's got a question regarding their love or their relationship or, you know, to see what's coming up, please feel free to hit number one and talk to us. If anybody does not have a love question, we'll try to do like a little quickie on you. But, you know, in honor of Valentine's Day, we're just going to really keep it very, very minimal today. All right. So, Eleanor, you've already been saying hello to Cindy. So why don't you proceed on? And I'm going to duck into the chat room, guys, and hopefully I'll be there when, you know, hopefully I'll be able to get back again. So,
okay, so Eleanor, now you can hear what we've been going through now. So anyway, you are so kind and emailed me and, you know, Facebooked me about having run into your ex. Do you want to share that with our listeners? Because I think it's just a great story.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Cindy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. You know what? It's actually Elaine. You had told me, I emailed you during the week. It was like,
So this is Elaine tonight. Okay, good.
Yes.
So your daughter is the one that you couldn't find the Social Security card. Is that right?
Yes, that was me. Embarrassing.
Okay, and did you locate it?
No, I haven't. I've been looking, shuffling through box after box and my filing cabinet, and I just, for the life of me, I know it's here somewhere. It's just I can't find it. And
your daughter had to take a driver's course. Was she able to do that without the card?
Yeah, she needs her actual permit in order to do the driving through school with her friends. You know, it's like the driver's ed through school.
Okay, so Did you take care of it enough that she could, like, do it on Tuesday?
Apparently, I don't know how she got out of driving that day, so it bought me some more time. And
well, yeah, definitely divinely guided, mother. Because, you know, a mother screwing up like this, you know, your children may not forgive you. So we'll even put this in the realm of love for tonight because, you know, our children have to cut us a little slack, too, as mothers, because sometimes we misplace things. We're not totally, you know, aware of everything. But have you also contacted to get another card? Did you do that?
No, because we have to actually physically go down to Social Security and fill out forms. The problem is that we have a lot of problems for years with getting other people's mail and other people getting our mail. So something as sensitive as that, I didn't want to go through the postal service. That's why I've been desperately trying to find it here in the house.
Well, it looks like you may not find it. I'm not sure if somehow it got thrown out.
Oh,
but it's
God.
Kind of looking like it's not in your house at this point.
Wow.
And so I would advise you just to, you know, go to get a moment when you can go down to the Social Security and get it in the next day or two, because it looks like, and ironically enough, you know, sometimes we find this stuff right after we do something else, but
yeah.
This kind of looks like somehow it may have been in something that you threw out. And that's going to drive you nuts. And, of course, God was kind and gave you a little time to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, try not to fret about it too much because I think it's going to go very smooth when you actually go down to the Social Security. So,
okay.
You know, you're not the only person that's lost one. So, and, of course, now there was the breach in Blue Cross Blue Shield, so everybody's got our Social Security numbers now. So, I mean... I mean, so I'm just saying that at this point, I think this is the least thing Social Security is worrying about right now is you. So.
Well, you know, I have to ask you because the first time that I actually got through, I didn't have privacy anymore. So then we came home and I got all kind of flustered. And what you said when you picked up the line, you said, oh, I see you're going to have a very good year. So I'm hoping I can get some kind of good news tonight.
Okay, good. Well, let's look at what's going on. And I'm glad you're laughing this week because you're a very good mother, and we're really hard on ourselves as mothers. You know, like when other people screw up, we're pretty like, okay, we'll take care of it. But when we do something, we tend to not cut ourselves any slack. And, you know, in life, I say there's always a glitch. Yes, you actually look like this year will be better for you. Are you working on your marriage a little bit, your relationship?
I try.
Okay.
I try.
Okay. I love your answer. What I'm seeing here is, you know, he's not always the easiest person to get along with on a day-to-day basis.
Right.
You know, I got a card that he's never going to leave you, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay. You figured that much out, huh?
Yeah.
So with that piece of knowledge, you might want to start asserting yourself a little more about what you need and what you want, because it does look a little bit you know, he's a person who could use a little behavior modification. Do you work on that with him? Kind of getting him to maybe answer a little bit differently.
Yeah, that's the problem. Yeah,
I know. I'm kind of trying to tiptoe around this. Whose mom has passed away, by the way?
My grandmother.
On your mother's side, her.
Yeah.
She's probably not loving the way he talks to you.
Yeah, probably not.
Okay, because imagine, you know, they come down to visit us, and she usually leaves your house quite quickly when he's around, because she's not loving the way he talks to you. And no, it's a little bit, you know, you sort of saying what you mean what you say without being mean about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he loves you. It's not like he doesn't love you. And, you know, he's not a bad man by any means. It's just that, you know, he worries a lot about money. Do you know that about him?
Yes, extreme. It's like obsessively, and it's horrible.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I mean, I went through this with my first husband.
You don't have to beat around the bush. You don't have to beat around the bush.
It's not pleasant when, you know, life is expensive, bills have to be paid, and it's not pleasant to be living with someone who's, like, so money-obsessed. I mean, life is expensive. That's the way it is, you know? And it looks like that's part of the strain in your marriage, because certain normal bills or normal things that have to be paid, he sometimes overreacts about. I could see you're not a huge spender here. Like, it's not like you're out there, you know, going buying a diamond ring tomorrow.
No, I'm not.
And that you actually do without a lot, just so you don't have to listen to him.
Yeah.
And that's not right. So for you, it's working on your marriage if you, you know, you want to. He's never going to leave you, so you might as well make it a person that you want to stay with. Money does look better in the future, by the way. So
Okay. That's
something. Do you have a little baby in the background?
No, I don't know why. The last time I was on the phone with you, my dog was acting like this.
No, it's funny. Your dog, oh, it's your dog. I'm not surprised because there's also a male figure, like a father figure, whose father has passed away.
My father. And
okay.
Yeah.
It's your father. Your father is sort of pacing between my home and yours, if you could envision. So what your dog is doing is seeing your father.
Okay.
As odd as that may seem to, because as soon as the dog started acting up, your father sort of raised his hand and said, I'm going from your house to her house, to your house to her house.
Well, I want him to stay.
So he said he'll stay at your house, but that's why your dog's acting peculiar. What your dad is saying is love yourself the way he loves you. Love yourself the way you love your daughter. What would you be telling your daughter to do in this situation if she were in a similar situation in a similar marriage?
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell her to do at this point?
I'd probably want to protect her and bring her back home, because it could be torturous when you have a person that's so obsessed with money. And I'm the type of person that I'm trying to develop a peaceful being around me that I always feel like no matter how bad things are, things will always work out. And he just can never see that. And it causes, you know, a lot of negativity within the house.
Well,
and I don't
know
how to deal with
that. Well, first of all, money problems end relationships a great deal. And he's an OCD. He's probably never been diagnosed with obsessive compulsive disorder, but he has OCD. What if there's not enough money? What if this, if only we did that? He's a really big obsessive worrier about money. It's not a normal level of worry. It's over the top here. And your dad's not loving the way he treats you. And know that, you know, you can't. The problem with this is that it wouldn't matter if your husband had a gazillion dollars, he'd still worry about it. Because it's not the money, it's what it represents. It's the worry and the hoarding of it and the surrounding of it. And he has more money than he's claiming to have, by the way, your husband, which I don't know if you know about that. And so what he's always wanting you to do is think that there's no money, so that he's put you in a state of worry.
And how is he hoarding money? Like, how can you see?
Well, it's sort of like he has it somewhere. It's either in an account or something you don't know about. Not that he's necessarily hiding it from you. He just doesn't want you to know there's more money and you don't have to worry so much, because then he'll think you're going to go and start spending. So this is a really big issue in marriages, because no one can tell another person how to spend money. And what I could tell is you really are pretty good with money. So his response to you is really over the top. But you can't feel like bad every time you have to buy something. You can't feel like, and now because people could check online, every time you use a credit card, he probably knows what you're using. It's really annoying now.
That's what we dealt with last weekend, all these charges. And basically, I'm just, it's gotten to the point where I'm hiding the grocery store bills, because that's how I can't take it.
Now, that's what I'm telling you. He's making you be a liar. And then later when you get caught because things, you know, you cost more money than you said, he's going to accuse you of sneaking and lying and betraying him. So what I'm this is the situation that destroyed my marriage, by the way. I could not deal with these money issues after a while. And I don't want to lie about money, and I don't want to, you know, feel like I have to do without, because I don't want to listen to him that, oh, you spent this. And meanwhile, I never shop. Anybody who knows me knows I never have time to shop. So if I went, it was like twice a year. So that would mean I'd have to buy a lot of things twice a year, because I only got to the store twice a year. So it may have looked like I spent a lot of money that day, but I hadn't spent a dime in 6 months. So it's kind of, when it's this obsessive money thing, after a while, it's going to make you a nervous wreck. Even your response to the lost Social Security card seemed very over the top to me, Elaine.
Yeah.
It seemed like you're a woman who, if you do anything wrong, you're so afraid you're going to be berated. It's going to make a big deal. What if it's going to cost $25 for another card? Whatever. I mean, it seems like everything was making this bigger than it has to be. But when you're living with a person who's like that, like a bad daddy, like to, you know, treating you like he's daddy and you're a little girl.
Yes, exactly. And it's funny because I've developed such a nervous condition over it. And it's like, I know that, yes, I've heard from him how hard he works, how many hours he works, but it's like, how do I not get myself sick over it? Because when you live in a nervous environment like that, how do I keep, if I have to stay with him, how do I keep from becoming sick?
Well, basically, you're going to have to realize this is his problem and not yours, and that women tend to respond very much like their children until they start getting their midlife crisis in their 40s. So when we finally start realizing that I'm not a child, and we fall right into that with men acting like a child with money, and it doesn't matter whether a woman's making the more money or not. Sometimes women have this like mindset, and what you're going to have to do is say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. Tell them, well, that's the way it is. You know, I don't make the prices. That's the way it is. You know, state the fact that, you know, you're not going to argue over this because there's nothing to argue over. Again, you're a peacemaker by nature. You know he's going to blow up if he's in a bad mood. But you're going to have to not give in to him. You're going to have to say, go for a drive. Get out of the house. He can't make you feel like you're a bad little girl. I'll tell you, it's a very good recipe for a heart attack or a stroke when you live with a man like this.
Well, that's the whole thing, and I'm finding out that I'm developing problems. But
I'm not surprised, and that's because we can't live every day like if something goes wrong and something needs fixing that we have to feel like a nervous wreck. It's what happens. This is what it is. I mean, sorry, I didn't make life. It is the way it is. But life is full of little things breaking. Money costs, you know, somebody gets sick. That's part of life. And what he's doing is making you feel like you've got to make sure no errors ever happen. Everything's perfect. You know, you don't break anything. You don't need anything. And you can't live like that. And your dad does not like your husband. He just told me, tell her I don't like him. So I'm just delivering what he said to me. He goes, I don't like him. And he really wanted to say I hate him, but I toned it down a bit. And know that he doesn't like what he's doing to you and that he's making you like such an emotional cripple because you feel like a bad little girl every day.
Yeah, exactly.
And just know that he has more money than he's claiming, and that's the hard part about it. They always act like they have no money, these people. So we're always we're thinking, oh, God, we have no money. It's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not saying he's a gazillionaire. But he's
not
reacting in a way that's not normal.
Right.
So
why do I feel like, I don't know why, sometimes I get this weird feeling that sometimes I'm actually going to be free, like feel free and happy and have all the things that...
You mean
that
without him? Without him?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, because what I'm seeing in these cards is that you won't be able to stay with him more than a few more years if he continues this, because it's going to affect your health. You're going to have enough of it. And one day you're just going to walk out that door. One day you just say, I can't do it. I mean, that's what happens. We finally say, I can't lie anymore. I can't lie about money because you're calling me a liar, and I am a liar because people lie when they're afraid. You lie to him because you're afraid, and you don't want to hear it, and you don't feel like having a song and dance today. And, you know, when people say, well, she lies to me, but I always ask people, do you make people afraid to tell you the truth? Because people lie when people are afraid to tell the truth. No one's afraid to tell the truth to me because I don't judge it. I hear it. I listen. But I don't judge it. So when we're lying to people, it's because they're very judgmental and we don't want to hear it and we don't want a war. And, you know, you deserve better than this. And he's never going to leave you. With that with piece of information in your hand, act like a grown-up. Don't act like a bad little girl. And don't yell at him. Just address the facts very calmly. And that's it. And don't engage in it. And eventually you're going to find your way out the door if he doesn't if he doesn't, through your behavior modification, change. Because, you know, I could just see even when you didn't get through last week and I felt so bad you couldn't, and I didn't mean to poo-poo away your problem at all. I'm just, now you can understand why I was trying to make a little light of it. People make mistakes, things happen. It's not a big deal. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But nobody, because you're living with a man that you're not allowed to make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
you beat yourself up too much. And it's one of those examples, I mean, where is he helping? Why can't he help go to the Social Security office? Why can't he help? Why is it always on you?
Yeah.
Because you don't even want to ask him for help, do you?
I can't. No, I don't. I don't know exactly.
Okay, well, I want you to love yourself the way your father loves you, the way you love your daughter. This is not acceptable behavior. He's a bully. Your husband's a bully. And somebody's got to, you know, let him know he can't bully you forever. And you can't win at his level. You can't win screaming because they'll scream louder. You can't win being mean because they're meaner. The only way you can sort of get your point across is by being a grown-up, addressing, going in, this is the cost, this is what it costs, here it is, show it to him. And if he starts going, oh, sorry, this is life, I don't make the prices. And that's it. And don't engage in it. And again, of course, he may not like this, but you have to do your best to start acting more like a grown-up with him, because if you were just to leave him tomorrow, and anybody listening, if you just leave one relationship without learning how to behave better, you'll just do the same thing with the next person. So learn to speak up kindly here. Learn to, you know, speak up and not be a people pleaser with him. This way, when you're in another relationship, you won't fall into that pattern.
Okay.
Of people pleasing.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you. Please, you know, go to the Social Security. Know that we're on your side. I promise. Your father says, I promise to bring you the nicest lady in Social Security who does it, who's so sweet and can't wait to help you.
Thank you. That would be fantastic. Thank you. And sorry, Eleanor. I guess it was meant to be.
You were meant to be talked to, Elaine. I don't even know if Eleanor called in. So. Anyway, we have a few other people. We'll get them.
Yeah,
it was so nice to talk
to you,
Elaine. We love you.
Thank you. Love you, too. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Isn't she the sweetest thing?
She was so sweet.
And do you understand those bullies, when people are bullies, when you're in a relationship with a bully?
Yes, absolutely. I've been there. I've definitely had my share, you know. And, you know, people bully. It's amazing because, you know, I see how people get bullied. Like ever since I've been doing this show, I see that whole bully mentality in so many more things than just love. You know, in so many different aspects of relationships. You know, ever since, you know, I read your books and everything else. And it's just so sad when you have somebody that's sweet, that's just, you know, that's just passive aggressively just like taking it, you know, like that. You know, I mean, because it's clear that she doesn't deserve that. Nobody really does.
Right. And of course, it's because it's usually the person who's a nice person who really isn't the fuck upper. They do everything good. They're, you know, you can see this woman does everything. Elaine does everything the way she's supposed to. She tries very hard. She's very conscientious. And so when people nitpick at the things we've done wrong or what's not our fault, you know, we tend to feel really, really bad. And that's what's so sad about it. So the bullies know who to, you know, gravitate to, who to pick for a mate, because
mm-hmm.
they know this person can be really bullied into not spending money or bullied into, you know, just feeling.
And manipulated. Don't forget the manipulation there.
And manipulation.
Bullying and manipulation go hand in hand, you know, a lot of times. You know, usually
well,
you're getting bullied as a form of manipulation.
It is a form of manipulation. That's one of them, the book, Why Good People Can't Lead Bad, the bully.
Mm-hmm.
They bully the Hitler, you know, the person who, you know,
just
makes us feel so bad about everything. And I think
and helpless.
Kindness, being kind to people, it's like my father was a very big bully, and I think I've discussed that many times on the show. And I remember being in third grade, and someone broke something in front of me, and it was mine. And she got so panicky, like I was going to scream and be so mean to her. And I realized I have become my father. And the person was just waiting for me to scream. And I went, it's okay. Things get broken. And you should have seen her face. She was like, oh, my God.
Just that little sense of relief.
And from that day forward, I said, I'm not going to be my father. I'm not going to bully people when they make a mistake. I'm going to try to be compassionate. I mean, a little tough love. Sometimes I had to be tougher than I am. Tough love, but the point is not berating. So I think she was a very important call for Valentine's Day, because if you're listening, and if you are a bully, and stop bullying, and if you are in a relationship where someone's bullying you, start speaking up.
Well, also, let's not forget that because it's Valentine's Day, you're going to come across a lot of bullies out there suddenly for the one day being nice. And you know what? That's not an excuse. You know, just because they're nice that one day of the year does not mean to give them free rein over the other 364 days where they're not. So, you know, for those people who, you know, whose bullies might be coming to them a little bit more humble on Valentine's Day and, that, and this and that, you know, do yourself a favor and be your own Valentine this Valentine's Day.
Exactly. And by the way, one of your bullying exes, who you know that I know, when I recently saw her, she couldn't believe, because the person she's seeing now is quite a bully.
And
apologized greatly to you, how it must have felt for you to be in that relationship with her.
Wow.
So,
really?
How about that? How about that for a message today?
That is very, very surprising. And it's actually, you know what? It's, you know, I actually, it's funny that you said that, because recently a friend of mine, rather a former friend of mine whom I've had like no contact with, for various reasons, you know, every so often I would get an email and an email and an email, you know, and I would never, ever acknowledge. And recently I've acknowledged, like, hey, listen, you know what? Your wires are crossed. You know, whatever you think that you're picking up, you're really not, and everything else, whatever. But I said, you know, just as just a point that I wanted to make in the email, I said, you know what? I forgive you. You know, just don't worry about it. You know, it is what it is. You know, and I said the words, you know, to him. I was like, you know what? I said, you have to just understand something, that we can make choices in this life. Choices, they're free. You can make as many of them as you want. I said, however, consequences you have to pay for, you know, and, you know, there are certain consequences for things, I said, and this is just one of them. And, you know, certain doors I keep closed for reasons, and I want to, you know, I want to keep them that way, because I'm not looking at the past. There's nothing I can do about the past. I could only do something about today and tomorrow, and that's it, and that's where my focus is, you know. So, I mean, I just had this conversation, and I think it's very, very surprising, and it is very much appreciated, because it's a little sense of a peace of mind, you know, there, and, you know, wow, it impressed me.
Right, good, and that's what I thought you would need to hear. Now, we do have Jane, you said?
Yes,
scheduled.
I know that in the beginning of the show, I did say that, you know, that it was going to be Valentine's Day, strictly love, but we're going to do a very, very quickie for Jane now, Cindy, because I do have somebody else
queued
up.
Because we love her.
Oh, yes, because
okay,
we do love
so
Jane.
Counts.
You know, and Jane has got a very, very simple question, okay? She's going to schedule a reading with you privately on the other stuff, but she is moving this Sunday from that hellhole that she was in, that, you know, that she was having trouble with the lady. She had to call the cops and stuff like that. So she just wants to know, you know, for Sunday, is everything going to go smoothly, all right? So right now we've got about 26 minutes left. So I'm thinking maybe let's give about the next 6 minutes to Jane, and then we're going to move on to the next caller, okay?
Okay, terrific.
All right, and here we go. Let's speak to Jane. Hello, Jane, you're on the air.
Hi, I love you guys too.
Okay, so that's why we got you in on, we got you on the I love you, because we love you. You see how we work that in? You know, we have a higher producer than us, so sometimes we have to, like, say, yes, you see, this is love here, okay? So we've got that in. Now,
and
you
I would love a Valentine for once in my the last 20 years, but right now I have this weekend to look forward to. And you know the story.
Right. And first of all, you have to watch your back with her, because she is livid about you. You have somehow, you know, brought out the beast in this woman. I mean, that it's not hard to bring it out. I mean, it's there, but you're getting a lot of divine guidance, basically telling you, you know, to get out of there. The money she's supposed to give back to you, I'm not so sure that's going to go that easy that day. But I would advise you to just get out of there and take her to small claims court, not to argue with her there, because she's got her son, the lawyer, that lives there. And if he starts lying that you did something or whatever, you know, Can you, do you have someone that's going to come there to help you so that someone could witness what might happen?
Yeah, I told her my friend Anka offered to come and help me, you know, at least be there for moral support and help me move my stuff out. And I told her, I said, well, my friend's coming over on Sunday. So then later that day, she knocked on my door at 10 o'clock at night with one of her girlfriends on my little hovel. And she said, I don't want any strangers in my house. Your friend's going to have to stay outside. So I called.
Now, you see, she has no right to say that because you live in that house. And it was nowhere in your lease or in your agreement to her that you weren't free to have anybody over.
Right. So the police said, just call us and we'll come right over. So I don't know if I should just call them and have them come over anyway.
You might want to, because this way, if I were you, I would, you know, have them come so that she can't say you broke a hole in the wall or you did anything.
Right.
What you want to do them is that they make sure that, you know, they can write down that when you moved out, there was no damage to the place.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's going to try to claim you damaged something.
I have so many pictures of how damaged that place is already. Now, when I gave her that letter I told you about, just to clarify what she owes me on Sunday, because she kept promising she was going to give me the balance of my security deposit. I'm living off it right now against her wishes, but tough shit. She claims that she's still screaming at me, I broke her sink with a few coffee grinds.
And again,
I clogged the toilet, yeah.
Those are things you might have to deal with her in small claims court.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you have a police report that you're there and you were left and everything was in good shape, it's just that will help in when you have to take her to court, but I don't think she's going to give you the money back.
Oh, great.
I'm just telling you, I'm not seeing her. I'm seeing you getting it, but maybe not that day.
Okay.
But it isn't worth you getting screaming hissy fit. I mean, if the police are there, she may hand it to you.
Okay.
So I would advise you have to have the police deal with her. I don't want anything lied about. This woman's a liar. And she's a pathological liar.
So, I know.
So if you have the police there and you have your friend, you have witnesses, she isn't going to act badly in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
She may say, well, I'm not giving you a deposit, take me to court, because she's a wise ass.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just, you know, on Monday, file online, small claims court, and, you know, in your area.
I don't have an address, though. That's the thing.
An address of where?
I don't have it. You know, they're going to ask me for my address. I don't have one right now.
Okay, but you're going to be moving somewhere soon.
Yeah, the police advised me not to give her a forwarding address.
Okay,
and
but
the person I'm going to be living with asked me that too. Please don't. And she works for the police.
Well, did you get a PO box number?
Yeah, in March. I'm waiting to see if my old one.
All right, and then it's not too late to take her to court, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
Just
okay.
It looks okay. And in terms of your love life, yes, you're going to have one. Let's hope by next Valentine's Day you're calling in and telling us about your wonderful Valentine.
Will I be in a warm climate or a cold climate?
At this point, we have to figure how much money you can save so you can go somewhere else. So
yeah, well, I just got contacted about the arrears from my old apartment with regard to the penalty, and I have to pay that off. They'll hammer my credit rating down to nothing. So
right, so that's why
that
you have to take care of that first, and then, you know, you have a nice place you're going to now. By the way, it's not
nice,
ideal,
it's
not lovely, but
yeah.
She's a nice person.
Okay.
She's a nice person. It'll be peaceful where you're going. You'll be able to save money. It looks really positive in terms of she's just happy to have you there, and she's a normal person.
Yeah, she is happy. I have to share her shower. It's going to be weird.
That's all right. You know what? Get those little things. You know, you have that shower thing. I don't know what it's called, but, you know, I have them. You just hang them up, and after every shower, you just squirt it.
Yeah,
This way you'll just feel. But sharing a shower is not the worst thing. Most people do have to share a shower.
Not with a stranger.
Well, she won't be a stranger. You're living with her. And when we were in college and we were places, we had to share a shower. You needed to go away to college? We share a shower with everybody.
No.
You didn't go away to college?
No.
Okay, because in college we had to share a shower with everybody.
I know, and that's not me.
And again, maybe it's a little bit you being a little flexible, you not being so anal about everything, and you know, sometimes you have a germ thing that's over the top.
Right.
So, I mean, don't overreact. Most people live in a household with three or four people. Three people might share a shower. I mean, there was a time when we had one bathroom. Six people used that same shower. Didn't you have to share?
I grew up in poverty, so that's those days to me I thought were gone. But
again, very rarely, and if you have a lover in your life, you're going to have to share a bathroom with him
usually. Yeah, that's fine. That I don't mind.
Okay. Well, she's a nice lady. She's a clean lady. I'm not worried about you sharing a shower with her.
Okay. And she's happy to have me, and if the price is right. And I looked at a few places today, but, you know, to spend the money doesn't make sense right now.
No, and actually you're going to feel pretty secure there. So it's not going to be as bad as you're thinking. It's going to be actually okay. So
it's got to be better than this. This is my blood pressure is through the roof again.
Okay, we've talked about that. Those of us who tend to overreact to stress, and because we've had hard childhoods, as I know Jane did and I did. That's why even when this blog talk wasn't working today, I could feel my blood pressure wanted to soar. I said, no, I'm not going to let it soar over this. The worst thing that happens, I don't do a radio show today. It's not my mistake. Sometimes we have to just learn to take it down a notch because if you don't respond properly to stress, there's very little studies on blood pressure. But mostly what they know about blood pressure is really not the kind of blood pressure you and I have, because if anybody could see Jane, she's in nutrition. That's what she does for a living. She's beautiful. She eats well. She's thin. You're not the kind of person anybody would look at and think she has high blood pressure. But it's not the kind that goes up steadily from bad habits. You know, by time you're, 40, it goes up 20 points. Ours goes up like 60 points in a minute.
Since I was 25.
I'm going to recommend to you, and when you save a little money, it's not expensive. Well, it is. It's $99, but it's called Respirate, and it's that breathing machine. It works with you. And it works very well. So anybody who, it's a breathing, and it really brings my blood pressure right back down.
Yeah, I did. I have heard of it.
And it works.
Hey,
ladies.
Okay, we're going to go to the next call because
I'm cutting the both of you off because now you're deviating into blood pressure and other stuff.
Yeah, just that when I put a tennis court, I will win.
Yes, you will win.
Okay. Thank
Good.
You.
All right, we'll just document your case. That's what you have to do.
I have a few things on record. I recorded on my phone.
Okay, good.
All right, thanks, Cindy.
Good luck. Bye.
Appointment. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jane. Sorry I got to cut
you
off, Mom, next time, though, okay?
Well, I know, but we have a higher producer than us that wanted us to do something about love today, and I think that's God today, don't you think?
I would say yes.
We were supposed to
I'm just God's enforcer right now. I am God's enforcer, and I'm doing God's will right now. So, and I'm saying that's it. You know, enough. We're doing love. But no, I'm happy that we at least got to give Jane a little bit of time because I know that with her blood pressure, it's terrible. And my mom actually has got the same kind of blood pressure that two of you have, where it's inconsolable. It cannot be treated with any kind of medication.
And it's just not normal because I love when they say you can get your blood pressure taken every 2 years because most people it inches up over a 10-year period. No, this is not that kind. So, it just shows how we're overreacting to stress. So I'm trying very hard to, not overreact to things I can't control, Blog Talk Radio, which I can't control.
Well, you know what? I say the same thing all the time to people. And it's funny coming from me, actually, because people that knew me years ago and people that know me now know that I am very, very reaction-based. I go off the handle. I got such a temper on me. It's not even funny, but it's almost kind of like it's like a pressure cooker. I let the steam out by yelling, screaming this and that. And then as soon as I finish my rant, I just kind of go, okay, I'm good now. And the people are like, oh, what, you're not upset? And I go, no, what am I going to do about it? it's like I have my initial moment, and then I just kind of calm down, and I tell people that all the time. Like, if you got a feeling to get out, just let the feeling out, but don't harp on it, don't sit on it, don't ponder it too much, because you can only control you. You cannot control the person next to you. You cannot control your loved ones. You cannot control your boss or your friends or, Joe Schmo down the block. Those are things that are beyond your control. Worry about what you can control, not what you can't.
Exactly. And that's what I think is really a key. And that has a lot to do with love. Sometimes we just cannot control that outcome because we can't control people. And
yep, exactly.
But we are, what's our little grant me a higher love slogan? We're only responsible for our behaviors, not for anybody else's.
Exactly. Exactly.
So now we have Pat. Okay. And
yes. Now, Pat is an interesting case because Pat right now, I am jealous of Pat completely because she's from Long Island, but she's calling us from Florida right now, Cindy. Okay,
oh.
I can guarantee you that's not ice, and it's not 0 degrees in Florida right now. So we're going to speak to Pat, and she wants to know how her and her beau are doing. And in addition to that, you know, she had one like other little small question that she was sneaking in there. But her main question is, you know, how are her and Greg right now? So let's
okay.
speak to Pat and see what's going on there. Okay.
But this is Pat and Grace.
Hello?
It's not a beau, is it? It's isn't it a bell?
Oh, did
Pat
she say
and Grace?
Oh, you know what? My bad then, Pat. I heard Greg, not Grace. My bad.
You as a lesbian,
yep.
Nicole, got that wrong.
I did. I didn't know.
Okay.
I heard Greg.
Oh, well, you didn't hear Grace.
Okay. How are her and Grace doing?
Great. Terrific. Because I thought this was my Pat. When you said Bo, I'm like, that's not my Pat. Okay.
It is your Pat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's your Pat. I got the wrong name.
Okay. Well, Pat, you're in your condo in Florida now, huh?
Yeah. I came down to see about the, you know, I had to come down for the meeting. We had to get rid of two crazy people here. So then the president, she told me, she said, this is the most we've ever had since I've been here. She, like 11 people showed up to get rid of these other two crazy people that were on the board.
Wow. Well,
so,
you could see what Jane's call was about crazy, too. I mean, there seems to be no shortage of crazies out there. I know it was something in the air with the crazies. So,
yeah, and my tiny little question was that I put it up for sale, and I signed the papers. Now, I was, you know, she just told me, Chris, that it was up on the 5th of February. So now I don't know, should I renew it or am I going to sell it? Should I rent it? Or I'm just, you know, beside myself here.
Well, you know, it looks like if you didn't sell it, you could make some rent revenue. But do you want to worry about it anymore?
I worry that if I rent it, they're going to destroy it because the place is beautiful. You know, and everything is new. It's just... I'm worried about who I would get in here.
Right. And then, you know, that's what I know you very well, so I know you would worry, okay? It's not the world's best time to sell it, but you would get an okay price. It's not, I don't think it's what you would want, but were you planning on just holding it for a year but not renting it? Because that's a pretty costly endeavor still here.
I've been having it like that for all these years. I've owned it since 2002, and I've never rented it, and I've been paying on it all this time, you know, the maintenance and the electric and, you know, water bill, because we pay for the water and electric, you know, ourselves.
Right.
The cable is in the monthly maintenance, but that's, you know, and then I pay the taxes on at the end of the year on the property.
Right. And I think you had planned on living there by now, correct?
At one point, yeah, we were going to say it was going to be our retirement, Grace said. You know, she keeps telling me, don't sell it, rent it, but, you know, and it's upstairs, it's hard for me to go up and down the stairs. So I said, well, maybe we can sell it, and then maybe I can get something downstairs later on, but it's kind of tough, you know, making the payments right now, too.
Well, that's what I'm seeing. I'm starting to see that, and I didn't see that so much a few years back when you asked the same question. But what I'm seeing here is that the cost is getting to be too much. You're going to find that if you can sell it and get a decent price, it looks like that would be the best thing for you right now.
Yes, that's what I thought, because the money is going out the window, more money going out than what's coming in, actually. You know, because I only get the workman's comp and I have the Social Security. It's not that much. And the
right,
building,
that's what I'm saying. If you were... if it were 10 years ago, you'd still be able to hold both, you know, both places that you have. But this one looks like you could get a decent enough price. I mean, if you could have held it 5 years, you might have gotten more. But then you have to figure out you've been paying 5 more years of bills.
Yes.
So best, I got the Fool card on this, which means kind of like the Fool card has a person traveling light. It's like lightening your load. So you would be better off at this point to sell it. So when you're down there, you think, you know, could you contact some real estate people or whoever you need to
Oh, yes, I would do it again, but I'm not going to do it with the same company because I didn't like the way they were acting. Because Chris, next two halls down here, she's working for that company. But when I called up to find out, they never even mentioned her name. They were taking kind of the things away from her. So I don't know, and I told her. So she's going to try to go to work for somebody else. And there's one particular person, a real estate agent. She's very knowledgeable and very good, and I kind of like the feel that I get with her. And I think that's who I want to go with.
Okay, well, that looks good. So that looks good. So the judgment on the judgment card came. Yeah, selling is very good because it'll take a little bit of strain off of you. And there's no way that Grace can move with you anytime soon down there.
No. We can always get something else later on because Alexandra's still going to school.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not seeing you being able to really move in anytime soon. So. That looks great. Your relationship with Grace looks okay. Of course, her father's coming through to say, you know, you've got your hands full between Grace's mother and some of the manipulators in Grace's world, and it looks like they've been manipulating her pretty bad here too. I'm not loving the way I'm looking, how she's like a mother crying sometimes over all the situation. That's the card that came up. She talk about blood pressure and rest. She needs to take it down a couple of notches. Cause it's
who's
not
the one doing the crying and stuff around you? I didn't get that.
Grace is. About how much stress she has between her mother.
Yes.
Sometimes her daughter, sometimes the situation with her sister's son. So it's a little bit, she needs a little rest.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a new job, though. She got that. It looks like there's a new job here.
Yeah, well, that's a part-time job. I was going to tell you that she's like a crossing guard for the time being. She took that job. But it's part-time.
All right. And then she's still looking for that more full-time position. That looks like that'll come through. So,
yeah. You think it'll still be with Liberty Mutual?
I think she's got to start looking harder and not worrying because the Liberty Mutual looks like they're not hiring as fast as they should.
Yes.
And she can't wait forever.
I understand. I understand that. I just was curious because she was supposed to talk to Orville about that because they had fired some other people, and I guess they changed it again, so she was kind of leery about doing that again. And I said, well, I'm not quite sure about that, but I would love for her if she could get it back because then she would get back all her time and she would get her pension money.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure that's going to come through at this point because they don't want to give her her pension money. That's an issue. If she didn't have that pension money, they may have given it to her faster. They don't want to give her the pension money. They'd rather hire somebody else they don't have to give all that back money to. So she's going to have to give up on that dream because we're talking about corporate America here. They don't want to give anybody a pension. So if they just hire somebody that they don't have to give that back money to, isn't it a better deal from them thinking business-wise? I'm not thinking moral or human, but in terms of business.
Yes, I got you.
So I'm not seeing they want to hire her. It's not that they don't like her, but they don't want to give her the pension.
Jesus.
Isn't that funny? So, tell her to start, really applying other places, that are more growth companies on Long Island. We did discuss Henry Schein's a good place. Geico seems to be a pretty good place for people to work. I have a lot of clients that work there.
Geico? Yeah, that's what my car insurance is with.
Right.
Yeah.
She would be very good with that. Well, everything looks pretty good in your cards. Just try to sell this because the expense is going to – in the next 2 years, you're going to start feeling that real tightening of your belt if you don't.
That's tightening now, never mind 2 years. That's just – I can't keep this up. It's just not good.
All right. So you're gonna see. It looks very like you'll sell it though. I'm not seeing you'll have too much trouble selling it.
How long do you think it'll take?
Probably just a few months.
Okay.
So start putting it up as soon as you can.
And Grace and I'll be okay because we've been fighting a lot, especially over Alexandra. Different things because when we went to the doctor put in things for Alexandra to do, between her ADHD and the obsessive compulsive, we should be doing this and she should be doing that. And she wasn't trying to do it, and I'm trying to implement the things that the doctor said that we agreed to do. So So then she does the opposite, and we argue over it. And it's just been getting, you know, out of hand. Some of us stuff's gotten out of hand and pretty loud.
Well, what you're going to have to do is what we've been talking about today, say what you mean what you say without being mean about it, address
mm-hmm.
facts, and if she doesn't do it, she is the child's mother, then you just walk away on it. Don't get in the middle of it. You know, it's very hard, you know, to be, you know, in the middle of a mess like that, but it's not going to help for you to scream or get loud. So.
Yeah, but it's not helping the kid. That's the problem. She's not implementing what she's supposed to be doing to help the kid, and she's not helping the kid that way. And that's what I said. And the doctor's going to have a sissy fit on tomorrow, actually. She's supposed to go to the doctor. And when she finds out that she didn't implement any of that...
Well, that's okay. Let the doctor yell at her.
Well, she's always yelling at her. That's why she's
that's
always...
That's all right. Let the doctor yell at her.
The doctor told me, you have to be the one to get this and keep everybody in order like a staff sergeant. I said, yeah, but then I'm going to get yelled at all the time.
Well,
so
you know, again, it's very easy for doctors to tell people what to do because they're not living in the household. But do your best to say it calmly. It looks like you'll get through this. You two seem to always get through everything. So
try
to do something special.
Like cats and dogs, and the next morning everything is fine like it never happened.
Right. Well, that's the modus operandi of her family, to be very abusive for a while, and then the next day nothing happened. She kind of learned that growing up.
Yeah.
So just try to do something special for her for Valentine's Day. That'll go a long way.
I did get some stuff for her already before I left to go to her because, she, you know, Alexandra's in school and I'm here, so I got them some stuff before I left.
All right,
and actually,
good.
I still have something for her in her drawer that she doesn't even know about yet, so I'm going to tell her on Saturday to open up in the drawer.
Oh, good. See, that's fun. We like to hear that. Well, anyway, yeah. We're going to close up our show. Thank you for calling in, Pat. I wanted to talk to Nicole for a minute before we close up the show.
Okay,
good luck,
and
Pat.
You guys have a happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Now,
bye. When I get back, I'll call you when I get back to make an appointment.
Oh, that would be terrific.
Okay, sweetie.
Okay, bye. Now, we tried to stick a little on the theme of Valentine's Day. It wasn't that easy.
We did. I think that we did okay.
It just seems to be, you know, people just going maybe a little stir-crazy here, maybe things happening, but we're trying to be on that theme of learning how to communicate without being mean and without yelling.
Yes.
And without in provoking people to be worse, in why good people can't leave bad relationships, I talk about two kinds of anger, righteous anger and mortal anger, where we're throwing grenades and bringing out the worst in people.
Mm-hmm.
Righteous anger is sticking with the facts, not attacking the person, addressing the issues that they're doing that we don't like, but we don't attack
mm-hmm.
the person. It goes a lot better if you cannot attack a person. But, you know, and Elaine's still listening. Even for Elaine, she could say to her husband, you know, I love you, but when you berate me for buying food and costs that I can't control, you know that upsets me. So, you know, something like that, being able to say it a little kinder and a little nicer. And, of course, I'm going to have to figure out, I hope not every week I have to write in all this nonsense because, you know, about
I
the show.
Hope not. You know what,
do yourself
a favor. Do yourself a favor and write like a little something and keep it in like a Word document. This way, if in a pinch you need it, all you have to do is cut and paste right into
that's
it.
That's what I'm going to have to do. And, you know,
just have it on hand just in case.
We have a lot of women listeners, and even though it might only take me 5 or 10 minutes more a week, we don't have 5 and 10 more minutes a week. This was something that was done automatically. You know what I'm talking about. The 5 or 10 more minutes
exactly
a week that we have to do things.
About.
It's like, please, no. And
oh,
anyway,
I know. It's just terrible.
On February 26th, we will not have a show because I will be taking a few days off. So notate that, Nicole.
You.
I wanted to make sure I told you
yes.
that today so that you know that you could have that free night with your lovely, lovely, lovely Lisa. So
well, thank you very much. And you and I want you and TJ to have the most wonderful of Valentine's Day ever. And actually, Lisa makes out like a bandit on Valentine's Day because Valentine's Day is Saturday and her birthday is tomorrow. So, you know, we've got a nice special weekend planned, and I hope that you and TJ have something nice and special planned because the two of you deserve it.
Thank you so much. And we'll all speak next week. Bye, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.